You all will forgive me if I repeat myself these days. Stories. Story about a Baptist minister who was making a pastoral call on a man who had been visiting in his church. "Tell me," the Baptist minister said, "what is your religious background?" "Well," the man said, "I'm a Methodist." The preacher said, "Well, why in the world are you a Methodist?" He said, "Well, my mama and my daddy were Methodists, and my grandmama and my granddaddy were Methodists, and so I'm a Methodist." The preacher said, "Well, let me ask you this. If your mama and your daddy were ignoramuses, and your grandmama and your granddaddy were ignoramuses, would that make you an ignoramus?" The man thought for a minute. He said, "No, that'd make me a Baptist." Now, unfortunately, there are Baptist and Baptist preachers out there that give the name Baptist a bad name. Maybe this has happened to you. You are at a party or at lunch with some friends or on the golf course or at work. Maybe you're pulling back into your driveway in your Sunday best and you bump into your neighbor who's grilling wings in a Panthers t-shirt. And at some point in the comings and goings and the cross points and patterns of our lives and relationships, the conversation likely turns to churches and communities of faith. And someone wants to know where you go to church. And you're proud of your church. You love the impact that your church has had on the community and its involvement in Christian mission around the world. And you depend on the support and the community that you experience here, and you celebrate the inspiration and spiritual growth and vitality that your church sparks in your life. But now that it all boils down to a name, you brace yourself as you share the words with as much confidence as you can, and then the reaction comes. "You're a Baptist?" Today, I'm going to begin a series of four sermons on the theme, being Baptist. What does that mean? And how can we plant our feet and speak honestly about who we are and who we've been, what we claim and where we may have gone wrong and where we may have gotten it right, how we are distinct in our community and our Baptist witness to freedom? And I confess, with all of the news and the people that are in the news these days, some days this is easier than others for me. And I find myself saying sometimes, rather defensively or sheepishly, maybe even whispering, "I'm a Baptist, but not that kind of Baptist." So what do I mean when I say that? For in reality, there are all kinds and stripes of Baptists in the world. Southern Baptists, American Baptists, Cooperative Baptists, Independent Baptists, Free Will Baptists, Progressive Baptists, National Baptists. There are High Baptists and Low Baptists and everything in between. So I suppose if I were to stand before an average Baptist congregation today and to ask the question, who are the Baptists really? I mean, what do Baptists really believe? I expect that I would be disappointed in some of the answers that I would hear. People can usually articulate why they belong to a certain church. And you have done that in some of our conversations. But if we were to dig deeper and to ask the question, what is it that you believe as a Baptist? What do Baptists in general believe? Then oftentimes those conversations end in generalizations. For many people are not even aware, and to be honest, Most people don't really care. I know some will say, perhaps some here would say, I was Baptist born, I was Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. And maybe that's how you feel. You know, it's just part of who you have been all of your life. And that's who you are today. And that may be true for you today, but I don't think there's any harm in exploring the question, well, what does it mean actually to be Baptist? Since this church that you attend or that you belong to bears the name Baptist. And I think it would be really great if you would be able to say with confidence and clarity that among all of the different kinds of Baptists that there are in the world, this is the kind of Baptist that we are. These are the values that we share with other like-minded Baptists. And these are the kind of Baptists that we want to partner with as we do the work that God has called us to do. And I might add that this is a critical exercise for you as a church these days, because what you know about being Baptist and what you discern about the kind of Baptist that you are will greatly impact the kind of pastor that you will eventually call to serve and to minister among you and with you in the months ahead. It will impact the way you minister, the way you worship, the way you reach and teach folks who come your way, the way you do kingdom work. So I hope that you'll join me in these next few Sundays as we explore the answer to that question, what does it mean to be a Baptist? Hopefully, at the end of this, we'll have a little bit clearer understanding and appreciation for the fact that there is a sign on the front of your church building that says Clemens First Baptist Church. If there's one word that would capture the essence, in my opinion, of what it means to be Baptist, I think it would be this: freedom. The Baptist passion for freedom is a major reason that there's so much diversity in Baptist life. Baptists differ, and their differences are often broad and deep. This is not new. This is something that's been true since our beginnings back in the 17th century. The very first Baptist church was founded in Amsterdam in 1609, over 400 years ago. Baptists were then second-generation Protestants following the spirit of the Reformation, which began over 500 years ago with Martin Luther's posting of the 95 Theses on the Archbishop on October the 31st, 1517. And like other Protestant traditions, Baptists are first Christian. And we hold on to those basic theological tenets and claims of the universal Christian church, most often seen in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the Trinity, God expressing himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We believe in the authority of Scripture in matters of faith and practice. But Baptists drew on this protesting, dissenting impulse to break away from other traditions and to amplify the freedom of the individual and the freedom of the individual church. And so from the beginning, a consequence of this freedom is that there is plurality, that there is a rich diversity. There is no central founder. There is no authoritative confession, no pope or hierarchical office or leader, which means that there are all kinds of ways of being Baptist. You know this. There are Baptist churches in every part of our community. You may have passed by several of them on your way to this church today. And why do you do that? Because there are differences. And many of those churches, Baptist churches, bear little resemblance to one another and sometimes even have conflicting interpretations of the Bible or approaches to worship and preaching or practices of ordination or approaches to public theology. There are all kinds of ways of being Baptist, which makes it hard for us sometimes when we're at a party and someone asks what church or religious tradition we're a part of, and we sort of say, mumble, I'm a Baptist. But we should not forget where that comes from. Freedom is at the heart of it all. Freedom means that our faith is uncoerced, welling up from our own personal experience of Jesus Christ. So we don't answer to any external authority beyond which we submit to our own will. But freedom means that our faith is deep and chosen and meaningful. But it also means that there is this divergence and diversity, a plurality, even sometimes a competition between us. And hard work and mutual respect are needed. And it certainly means that we never stop answering the question, why Baptist? Walter Sheridan is a well-known Baptist historian. In his excellent book, Four Fragile Freedoms, outlines four basic freedoms that have characterized Baptists down through the years. Soul freedom, church freedom, Bible freedom, and religious freedom. Those are the four. Regardless of what Baptist you may encounter, if you dig beneath the surface and ask the question, what does it really mean to be Baptist? Historically, that's what we've been about. Freedom. Soul freedom, church freedom, Bible freedom, and religious freedom. So what in the world is soul freedom? Some people have described it in a variety of ways. Some call it soul competency. Others have called it the priesthood of the believer. Still others name it personal faith or conversion by conviction or experiential or individualistic religion. But when Jesus confronted his disciples about his identity, asking them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He was emphasizing the importance of personal response to his ministry, and at the same time negating the notion that he could be understood by popular opinion or by survey or by majority vote. But Jesus recognized in his encounter with his disciples that people perceived him differently and responded to him in different ways. And so in asking his disciples the question, Jesus was, in a very real sense, affirming what you and I as Baptists have come to cherish, the sacredness of individual choice and response in matters of faith. That's what Jesus was advocating when he asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? He was asking for a personal response. He understood that there were all kinds of different perceptions and rumors about who he was when he asked, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what Jesus really wanted to know was what his disciples thought. And what about you? Who do you say I am? And in asking that question, Jesus was inviting personal response based on voluntary commitment. And that really is a basic part of our Baptist tradition. That's what lies beneath the question that the old Baptist preacher asked the Methodist. Why in the world are you a Baptist? Because it's not nearly as important to us what mama and daddy believed or what grandmama and granddaddy believed or what our friends believe. It's not nearly as important what theologians say Jesus is or who television preachers say Jesus is or who your pastor says Jesus is or your youth leader or your Sunday school teacher says Jesus is. It's not nearly as important to us as Baptists what our denomination says Jesus is or any of our denominational leaders say that we should believe about him. What's important to us as Baptists is that we as individuals answer the question, but you, who do you say that I am? Now, we Baptists have historically reacted against any structure or authority telling us what we have to believe. Rather, true Baptists, convictional Baptists have said, you got to come to that yourself. You got to make a decision yourself about that. That's the way it was for me. Growing up in a Christian home and in a Baptist church back in Virginia, I can remember seeing people getting baptized and asking my parents when I could be baptized. And they would always answer, oh, one day you'll understand. And that always mystified me and confused and frustrated me because I wanted to be baptized because all of my friends were being baptized and because my pastor used to preach on the importance of following and obeying Jesus in the baptismal waters. But my parents were right in insisting that I wait. Because in those early years, I did not understand fully what it meant. But there did come a day when it all came together for me, and I was moved by the Spirit of God to make a decision, to make a commitment of myself to respond to the wonderful sacrificial love of God in Jesus Christ by committing myself to following him. And everything that I had heard about Jesus, everything that I had learned about Jesus came to a head that day in the worship service as the preacher was preaching and as he invited us to stand for the invitation hymn and called anyone and everyone who felt led by the Spirit of God to come forward and to publicly confess that they wanted to become a Christian and to follow him in baptism and membership in his church. And I can remember holding on to the back of the pew in front of me, white knuckling that pew, resisting, because it was a scary thing to have to walk that long aisle like we do in Baptist churches and take the hand of the pastor. But I did that day. I stepped out by faith, and the pastor reached out his hand, and he said to me, it's never a secret. I used to wonder what the pastor whispered into the ear of the people who would come forward for professions of faith. He would say, Donnie, why do you come today? And I'm thinking to myself, well, why are you even asking that? You've just asked me to make a profession of faith. And I said to him in my own childlike way, 10 years of age, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. And it was on the strength of that personal experience and the strength of my profession of faith that I was admitted to the membership of Jonesboro Baptist Church and was baptized into the faith. Now, it wasn't because my friends said that I should do it. And it wasn't because my parents or my grandparents wanted me to do it, though they surely did. And it wasn't because my pastor pressured me to do it. It was because of my own personal conviction, by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in my life that day, that I made a decision, a conscious decision, to dedicate myself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's the bedrock of our belief system as Baptists. And it goes all the way back to our beginnings. For historians trace the First Baptist Church, as I said, back to 1609 in Amsterdam with John Smith as its pastor, and his conviction was that a scriptural church should consist only of believers who have been baptized on a personal confession of faith, which is why we don't baptize infants or small children. We don't practice infant baptism in the Baptist church because we understand that we do not inherit our faith from our parents or from our grandparents. We understand that we don't have a DNA in us like the color of our hair or our eyes or our personality. It doesn't come to us that way. Faith is not something that we inherit. We may have been brought up in the church, and we may have had very fine Christian parents to teach us and to instill in us Christian values. But there comes a time for all of us as Baptists when we must appropriate for ourselves our faith, when we must make our own confession of faith. Jesus asked his disciples that day, but you, what about you? Who do you say that I am? He wanted them to make up their own mind. He wanted them to put it in their own words, to make their own confession. And so Simon Peter, good old impulsive Simon Peter, said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father who is in heaven." Another way of saying that is Jesus was saying, "Way to go, Simon. You finally get it. Good for you. You didn't get your answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven let you in on this secret of who I am. And it's your kind of faith that I am going to build my church." Simon Peter's spontaneous response to Jesus' personal question was confessional. Jesus did not exert external pressure on Peter to respond the way he did. Nobody scripted his confession. It was born out of personal spiritual conviction. And that's part of what Baptists mean when we say we believe in soul freedom. Walter Sheridan said, "Baptists insist that saving faith is personal, not impersonal. It is relational, not ritualistic. It is direct, not indirect. It is a lonely, frightened, sinful individual before an almighty, loving, and gracious God." Now, this freedom is a wonderful and terrible gift. It's wonderful because it gives us the right to choose of our own free will. But it's terrible because it allows us to make mistakes, to interpret wrongly. See, Simon was right in proclaiming Jesus as Messiah, but he was wrong in resisting Jesus' messiahship as one of suffering. You may recall that right on the heels of Simon Peter's great confession of faith, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to me." And Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." See, Peter got it right when it came to proclaiming who he understood Jesus was, Messiah. But he got it wrong when he refused to accept the way Jesus would assume his responsibility, his messiahship. And soul freedom means that we have the right to choose. And we could choose wrong. But that's the gift and the privilege that comes to us from God. And it is an awesome and terrible responsibility that is ours. But there would be those who would want to take away our freedom to choose by telling us what we need to believe, correct doctrine and theology. And there would be those who would just as soon be told what to believe without thinking for themselves, and in either case, they would be less than Baptists in doing so. For Baptists cherish this thing called soul freedom, that we as individuals come before God personally and directly and voluntarily. Sheridan defines it as the right and responsibility of every person to deal with God without the imposition of creed, the interference of clergy, or the intervention of civil government. And that, my friends, is one of the things that I cherish still about being Baptist. There are many things in the larger Baptist world with which I disagree. But the one thing that I still hold on to and claim proudly as a Baptist is this thing that we call soul freedom. The thing that led me to have expressed personal faith in Jesus Christ and to wade into the baptismal waters and to say to those who were gathered in my home church that day, Jesus is Lord, and to be submerged into the faith. And that, my friends, is what keeps me Baptist. The faith that is mine, uncoerced, freely chosen, independent faith, claimed and chosen as my own. So when Jesus asks you today the question that he asked his disciples so long ago, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? What's your answer? To what conclusion have you come? Hopefully you settled that a long time ago if you've lived many years, as some of us have. Others of you who are younger, and maybe you've heard, like I did as a kid growing up in the church, about this Jesus who loved me, about this God who loved me so much that he sent his son to die on the cross, that whosoever believes in him should not die, as Katie Grace shared with the kids earlier, but have eternal life. That's the gift that God wants to extend to each and every one of us. And if you've never received that gift, then you're living beneath your privilege, my friend. Because for us, each and every one of us, to come to a point in our lives where we answer for ourselves the question, who do you say that I am? Would to God that you would be able to answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you join with me as we pray together? Lord, we call you that because that means you are the King and boss of our lives. You're the one that has done so much for us. You've sacrificed so much on our behalf. You call us into relationship with you, and you ask us, you invite us to follow. So, Lord, I pray today that if there is someone here today who has never answered the call, who's never responded to the impulse of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, that they would come to a place of conviction, but they would first and foremost respond to you by professing faith in Jesus, and then by walking the waters of baptism, and then by actively engaging in following you through membership in this church. So, Lord, I pray that for those who are here within the range of my voice who need to make that decision, that they will do it either today or at some moment in the near future, that they would feel led by you, O God, to claim as their own their faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I offer this prayer, O God, to you in full expectation that you will answer our prayer according to your will I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.